Hi, I'm Edwin.
And I'm Andrew.
Sound the battle cry.
Two men.
15 minutes.
Eternal impact.
Welcome to Text Talk.
For the Lord, gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone, rest your cause upon.
Hello, Andrew.
Hey there, Edwin.
I am super excited as we continue in this throne room scene of God.
It's a beautiful picture of His glory, and I really enjoyed, you know, every conversation we've had, I've really gotten something out. It's been great for me this week.
It's like a theophany every morning.
It's a theophany every morning.
Bingo! We're trying to help people out here.
Yes.
Yeah, this revelation of God, picture of God.
It is, and by taking this pericope,
oh my goodness,
to look at the theophany.
I do not want that to get on our bingo card.
You don't want pericope on there?
I want pericope to be on the
every
bingo card.
Every day is a pericope. Look it up, you'll know what I mean.
let's not get that academic. So here we are in Revelation for laymen.
Yes, sir.
For the everyday person. And here we are in this throne room of God. I want to begin where we started yesterday and then invite you to read for us. Remember that when we worship God, I get it that what we see is our prayer closet. What we see is sitting around our living room with mm-hmm. our family. What we see
the pews, right?
What we see is the pews and the sanctuary of a church building. Mm-hmm. But if we were to experience apocalypse and God were to rip back the veil between this terra firma and the heavenly realm, this is where we would be. We would be in this place like these elders, and we'd see something incredible.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about those things that we'd see that are, I mean, God Himself obviously is the most incredible, but there's something here that it shows how incredible God is because of how incredible they are.
It's almost like we're tracking with John and his eyes continue to rise up the throne. He sees all kind of things on the way up there.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about those. So listen, I've got a New International Version today. Going to be reading Revelation chapter 4. I'm going to start in the middle of verse 6. There's a paragraph break actually in the middle of verse 6 through the end of the chapter. Revelation 4, verse number 6. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes, in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings, and he was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being."
He sees the elders. He sees the incredible bright colors. He hears the thunder, the trumpet sound. And as his eyes come up the dais, he sees these four living creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. Each one by themselves, if they walked into the room, we would probably faint dead away.
It's hard to imagine exactly what they look like. You've got six wings on them, eyes all around.
Within and without,
the back of their head.
Like your mom.
I know. How did my mother know I was making that face when she turned around?
I don't know. She's a cherubim?
I half believe she had eyes in the back of her head, at least up into first grade.
So here they are, and this incredible... Each of them has a different kind of head.
A different
the
kind
lion,
of head.
The ox, or mine says ox. I think one of them said calf, the eagle, the man.
The eagle, the man, like one, like one, like one. Which, you know, for me, kind of makes me think twice about creation.
Mm.
You know, I know I look at a lion and I think, okay, well, there's this spiritual being or this cherubim. It has a head like a lion. But really, as God creates all these spiritual beings, I guess what I need to understand is a lion is a cat with a cherubim head on it. It's just the opposite of that, which will really change your next visit to the zoo to say, well, you know, there's all kinds of little echoes of spiritual realities around me. Let's put six wings on a lion and you know what? Let's even give him a flaming sword or something, because that's what he needs.
Here's the funny thing. People take a look at these, and, you know, we're going to say, hey, take it literally and less absurd. Refer back to Monday's episode. And we look at these creatures and like, well, this is absurd. There's obviously no creature like this. So these obviously represent something, and folks are trying to figure out, well, what does the eagle represent? And and I've heard people say, oh, this is represents the four gospels and that sort of thing. Yeah. And what I want to say is, no, these don't represent anything. These are cherubim.
That's right. It's part of a theophany. Of seeing God and what's around them.
They are cherubim and they represent cherubim. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's what they represent. These are incredible living creatures that you know, what they're really like truly in the spiritual realm, I don't know what that's going to look like, but as they are coming into this, like you said, theophany, into this vision that John can understand, he is seeing incredible creatures. Creatures that themselves are glorious. Creatures that themselves, you would think, would inspire worship.
And even some of these, we'll say, aspects of these creatures, these heavenly creatures, do recall former pictures in Scripture where we were told, and there are cherubim present. Okay, the things like wings.
Yes,
that seems to be a common denominator of these pictures of these spiritual beings.
We see the cherubim, and just to drive home that they are cherubim in Ezekiel, in an apocalyptic passages and visions that Ezekiel saw. When you go to Ezekiel chapter 1, you see him witnessing living creatures. And they are the throne of God. Mm-hmm. It's this chariot throne that's moving around, but these living winged creatures that have all these different perspectives and visages, just like we see here in Revelation chapter 4. But when we get to chapter 10 of Ezekiel, mm-hmm. and Ezekiel sees the same creatures again, there he calls them cherubim. And he very specifically says that what he is seeing in Ezekiel 10 are the same creatures that he saw in Ezekiel chapter 1. So we are very clearly told these creatures are cherubim. Which, by the way, cherubim, that I-M ending is the plural
cherubim.
Ending. Cherubim, that's the plural ending. Mm-hmm. So a singular one would be a cherub, which is hard for us.
Whoa. Because we just had Valentine's Day a couple months ago. Yeah. A cherub is a naked baby.
That's how we view a little baby with wings.
Little
baby with wings. That is not a cherub. I'm not sure how that ever happened. We got to get that image out of our mind. A cherub is not a little baby with wings. A cherub is an incredibly glorious, magnificent, powerful spiritual being that, again, just walking into the room with one, I'd probably faint dead away. Yeah. If I tried to attack one, it would rip me to shreds.
I think what you're saying is true. I think it's also going to wreck Hallmark's business model, but I do think it's true. Okay.
Yeah, we should do Valentine's card with real cherubs.
With real cherubs.
There's a market. There's a market there. But there's a market.
You know, one of the frightening pictures we are given of a cherubim, mm-hmm. right? So when Adam and Eve sin,
yes,
and they are cast out of the Garden of Eden,
yes,
to make sure that they do not return and go back into that wonderful garden of God, a cherub is placed at the east of Eden at the gate with a flaming sword that turned in every direction.
So protecting the path to the tree of life, cherubim with the flaming sword. These are warriors.
Yeah.
Warriors, heavenly warriors.
They're protectors, like a vanguard mm-hmm. for holy God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember we pointed out just the other day from Hebrews that what the tabernacle was a representation of the heavenly realities. Mm-hmm. Do you recall you've got the holy place, then you've got the veil, and then the most holy place, and there's the Ark of the Covenant. Do you recall the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant? What's on top of the mercy seat?
It was cherubim, wasn't it?
Cherubim. Yeah, you know, the interesting thing.
Leaned in kind of with their wings sort of matching up with each other.
Isn't it interesting that every representation of that I have ever seen just puts the man head on those cherubim? Here we see it could have been, who knows what they might
could
have had.
Could have been lion heads, right?
Or an ox or an eagle, or maybe one had one had the other.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I don't know if you also remember this, but on the veil. On the veil, according to Exodus 26:31, do you remember what was woven into the veil between the holy place and the most holy place?
No, I forgot about it, but it's cherubim, isn't it?
They're cherubim that are woven into this veil. So protecting the path to the Ark of the Covenant, representatively, of course. They're not real
part of
cherubim.
This ornate veil.
Yeah, part of this ornate veil. They're cherubim. And then the mercy seat, the throne of God himself, mm-hmm. is the cherubim. So we start to see why cherubim would be in this. Or I say not, I guess it's not why. They're not there because of the tabernacle. But why you see it in the tabernacle? Because this is the throne of God.
It
and these creatures are there.
The throne of God. And my, I think about that again. This just occurred to me. But you know, when Jesus dies upon the cross, and one of the things that happens in the temple is the veil is torn in two from top to bottom.
Yeah.
And, you know, we think about there's no longer this separation between God and man. I also, you know, understand to say, look, God's not in this building anymore either, right? Mm. We're not saying that this is the seating place of God, but that's the cherubim parting ways.
Parting
isn't
ways,
it?
Yeah. So if we go back to that Genesis, protecting the way to the tree of life, mm-hmm. now the way to the tree of life is open for us mm-hmm. again.
Yeah, the cherubim aren't there.
The way to life in God is now open for us. The cherubim have stepped away. And again, John demonstrates that in this whole picture as he is called up into that room.
Right.
And he's not slaughtered, he's not executed. The flaming swords aren't turned on him. Mm-hmm. Because of the death of Christ, someone can be called into that room. That is so, so powerful. Now, one of the things I do want to point out, I think this is fascinating, that when you just take a look at ancient throne rooms, and maybe not even ancient throne rooms, but I know in 1 Kings chapter 10, about verse 18 and 19, and 2 Chronicles chapter 9, kind of the same passages, the same verses there, we've got a description of Solomon's throne. And he's on a dais. It's a dais right. with six steps. And he's got this golden throne, and it's mm-hmm. got a footstool made out of gold attached to the throne. And then it says it's got two armrests. And then on either side of the armrests are lions.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only that, not only the two lions on either side of the armrest, but on each of the six steps, there are two lions, one on either end of the steps.
Mm-hmm.
So in this throne room, this was how throne rooms were,
right.
I mean, even just the way earthly kings tried to do it.
Yeah. You know, someone who'd done some good work on that aspect of it, Michael Heiser in his book.
Okay.
Because he talks a lot about...
Which book?
Unseen... Realms?
The Unseen Realm?
The Unseen Realm. He talks a lot about archaeological excavation of just ancient Near Eastern throne rooms.
Yeah.
That culture, that part of the world, they did that. I mean, the king created a room to communicate to everyone who would come in there, I'm in charge, I'm above you, it takes a lot to get up to me,
mm-hmm.
okay, I've got the wealth and the power and the forces, I'm someone.
I'm sitting atop these magnificent creatures.
Yeah.
Okay.
To communicate a rule.
And here is God. Okay, so Solomon sits above lions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, golden lions, statues that ultimately
now,
are...
listen, if that's kind of... If Heiser's right and that's kind of the way throne rooms looked, Solomon really did trick one out. I mean, it's all gold. It's all rich.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. But now we come into the throne of God. You know, if I walked into a throne room and there was an actual lion there, I might like turn tail and run.
Mm-hmm.
But walk into this throne room, again, I'm just going to say it again. We'll probably say it every time they come up. I walk into the throne room, and what I see is this creature with an incredible number of eyes, with mm-hmm. creatures with various heads, with wings, I'm probably going to faint dead away.
Yeah.
I probably, what I'm going to want to do is, oh, these are worthy of worship. This creature here is worthy of worship. But what are these creatures doing?
Now, they're worshiping incessantly. Holy, holy, holy.
Yeah, and they're worshiping God.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I come in and these creatures, these glorious, magnificent, incredible, heavenly, spiritual creatures have turned their worship to God, I guess I know who I need to worship.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If they're going to worship him and humble themselves, I need to worship him. And I think we're going to talk a little bit more about that tomorrow.
Well, and not be confused about it either. We're not going to worship idols, pictures of any other kind of thing. We worship God alone.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Yeah. Wow. I haven't even thought about that. How many of the idols
mm-hmm.
were made to look like these creatures?
Mm-hmm.
And no, stay away from idols.
Stay away from idols.
Stay away from idols. Ah, now I want to talk for another 10 minutes, but it's time to stop. I guess I'll lead us out in prayer,
brother. Spend a couple minutes on prayer then.
Holy God, you're magnificent. And as the living creatures proclaim your glory, we bow down before you as well. And we lift you up. You are magnificent. And I pray that Andrew and I here in Text Talk, like the living creatures, can point ourselves and everyone that hears us to you, to look to you and how amazing you are. Forgive me for sometimes coming between you and the people I talk to as if I want them to see me. I pray, Father, that what we will do is all look to you and recognize your amazing glory. We love you, God. Thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for talking about the text with us today. I'm Edwin Crozier, and I'd like to invite you to join the Christians who meet on Livingston Avenue in Lutz, Florida, this Sunday for our Bible classes and worship. You can find out more at ChristiansMeetHere.org. Check out our daily written devotional that goes along with today's episode. You can find a link for it in our show notes. Michael Eldridge sang all four parts of our theme song. You can get more from him at acapeldridge.com. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review Text Talk in your favorite podcast app so others can find it and learn about it more easily. Have a fantastic day.
Steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throne.